Roll dice, be nice, and stay tuned. This is the Live to Die podcast.
Welcome back to the Live to Die podcast. You probably won't be hearing the heater in these episodes. It's about 40 degrees warmer than the last time we recorded, and there's about a foot more snow than then, too, which is a fun switch.
Which means that it's 40 degrees outside.
Yeah.
Winter is a nightmare. Colorado.
Yep, there's 5 feet of snow, and it's sunny. Well, there's not 5 feet, but there's a lot of snow.
And foggy. Mm-hmm.
It's somehow sunny and foggy at the same time.
That's very true. The ride up here was weird.
Yeah.
I want to ask, what's the weirdest weather situation that you've found yourself in?
Tornadoes.
do you have a lot of memories or a distinct memory of tornadoes that isn't, terrifying? I don't want to enjoy your drive to work.
Let me unlock
trauma.
Something real quick. So when I was really little, was this infamous in Oklahoma, May 3rd.
That's my birthday.
Well, your birthday lives in infamy in Oklahoma.
Jessica's birthday is January 6th.
So it's not sensing a theme.
I like my dad.
This was in the 90s. I want to say it was maybe 99, where the town I was in was quite literally surrounded by five tornadoes, and they all seemed to be coming right at us. And I just remember being utterly terrified. That was the one that Moore, Oklahoma was almost completely wiped off the map, by this massive F5, just terrifying shit. And then, it was only a few years back that it was again, almost wiped off the map by another massive tornado. So Oklahoma is a great place to be, everybody. you don't get wiped off the map by fucking wind.
Dumb question.
Yeah.
Is a larger number a bigger tornado?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He's never seen Twister.
It's opposite of DEF CON. What?
Twister is partially filmed in my hometown, by the way.
I was waiting how many seconds it would take for Trent
Shut
to
up, mention. Shut up,
DEF CON's the only one that doesn't make sense.
See, but I grew up around the military enough where I'd heard DEF CON, and I'm like, wait, so a smaller number means it's a bigger problem.
Yeah. An F5, now an EF5, an enhanced Fujita scale.
It's like they need a Twister. Sequel.
Yes, the enhanced Vegeta.
It just sounds like you're saying Vegeta, from Dragon Ball.
It's over five.
You got him.
A five will send a 2x4 through your body, essentially. You're talking winds
Jesus.
Of
Desperate
300
Housewives
miles
style.
People in the face with pieces of straw from the
ceiling. Spoilers, Jane.
That show has been out for 30 years.
I hope that's not true.
At least 20.
Okay. All right. I'll kind of segue off because we used to get, I lived just northern enough Louisiana where we'd get both tornado warnings and hurricane warnings. And I remember rarely, but it would happen. And I remember as a kid, because I was young, I was five, I think, when this happened, where I don't remember if it was about the same time or I was just scared when one was happening and I was worried about the other. Because I'm like, what happens when the two start conflicting? Because, tornado warnings seek low ground, go into maybe not ditches, but ditches or levees or basements. And then a hurricane warning is get the fuck to high ground. Yeah. Do not go where it's low. I remember being a kid and just being scared, being like, I don't know what happens if both come. Did we just die?
God said it's over and it's time to move on.
You get two of every animal.
James, Twister is almost kind of a Jaws movie.
Okay.
Where true. They're chasing the giant Twister.
It's very much a monster movie about tornadoes.
Yeah.
But the monster is the storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The monster is the storm we made along the way.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Right, Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
Cow.
Cow.
Another cow. I think that was the same one. That's literally a line from the movie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I'll occasionally rock remember I used to talk about wearing horror shirts. I'm not wearing one today. I didn't have a good theme for today. But I do often wear one that I think has Bill Paxton in it. Because I think Near Dark has Bill Paxton, right?
I don't know.
The vampire movie, old Catherine Bigelow. It's worth checking out. I think he's in that.
It upsets me that you've seen that and you've not seen Twister.
Yeah, you need to see Twister.
All of you need to see Near Dark. Anyone else have a weird weather story?
My weird weather story was one that you were also there for.
Oh, God.
Can you guess what it is?
No.
The weirdest weather thing we've ever experienced together?
No.
Seriously?
I feel like we've experienced plenty of that. There's been like some good fog, some crazy rain.
We don't need to start a domestic on the
show.
It's just the opener.
Just like, really? I really can't believe that this is not so, because it was such a crazy thing that I can't believe it's not coming to mind for him right away. But our nephew's third birthday party was disrupted. It was an outside picnic kids birthday party
just
in Nevada in the desert. So we're like expecting it to be nice outside because it always is. And it was at a park and we were just like hanging out and everything was fine. And then all of a sudden it was like extremely not fine. And it was like
a haboob.
To 60 literally winds. Like it was like no wind and then wind that was like 35 miles an hour within 30 seconds.
Up to 60, because my brother-in-law does like flight stuff for a living. And so he was like looking up the charts on it. And he was looking up like the data on it. And it was, I think it went in like 10 seconds from nothing to peak 65 miles an hour winds.
It was 40.
That's crazy.
Kids were like getting thrown around.
Take it easy. It was 40 miles an hour. It was 40.
Oh my God.
But it was
300 miles an hour.
It was 5,000 miles an hour.
F5.
An EF5.
I believe they said it was an F6. Yeah. They were coming up with something new for
it. If the winds were 65 miles an hour, we would have been obliterated. But we almost were, because it was like, it was also crazy because they had one of those like field day parachutes for kids to like play with that we had like just busted out. And there was like
those things were death.
A bunch of 3-year olds attached to that thing. And then all of a sudden it was like, I looked over and all the stuff on the tables, like the cupcakes, all of that was just getting like launched directly vertical into the air. And everyone was like, put the parachute away. Like the kids were like hanging on to it. And we were very worried we were going to lose a child. They were getting like blown over and rolled down this hill. And like James and I and like sister and brother-in-law and everybody are like running around. All the adults are trying to like wrangle the kids and like get all this stuff and put it in cars and get everybody home. It also starts like sleeting and snowing, which was weird. And it was just like chaos. And then later, James's sister was like, I'm really glad we didn't go for the bounce house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a reel that Jackie just showed me, my wife. And it's like this bounce house that's blowing down the middle of the road. And some kid just like jumps out of it and runs to the sidewalk.
God.
I was like, oh, my God, this is wild. Some little kid meets him on the sidewalk.
What
if he got blown out too earlier?
Stay inside of the
squishy box.
The cushy box, man.
I don't know. I think it.
I think it has like. I think I remember looking it up after that happened. That there was some instance where like a thing like that happened at a park, and like there was a bounce house, and kids got like really seriously injured.
Yeah.
But
that's crazy.
It's like the beginning of like a little kid's coming of age story where a dozen kids blew away in Nevada today and they're floating away on a parachute.
Yeah.
Sky castle.
Yeah. And we were like, well, I really hope that, you know, his third birthday wasn't just a source of childhood trauma about getting blown over in a windstorm. But
also he was 3. So like as soon as we got back inside
and
like,
he got a cupcake
down,
and he was like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty crazy. That was probably the craziest weather thing I've experienced.
I'll go next because mine's probably the lamest.
What?
You said that once and then you told us a horrifying
that
story.
We had to like cut out of
and
the podcast.
I've never been able to get it out of my head.
Yeah. Well, it's not like that. There's been a few times we've had like no visibility driving. That's crazy with the snow. I had one of those on my way to my bachelor party in Vegas. It's another Nevada adjacent. We were in Colorado still, though. Driving through the mountains, and then there was just this big, giant chunk of ice in the road that destroyed my wheel. One of my wheels, my front.
Oh, no.
One of my front wheels.
I hear that's an important one.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, completely destroyed, but the rim was bent and stuff. So, this nice lady trucker happened to pull over when we were trying to change it and helped us out. And
she's nice. Like, step aside, idiots.
I don't even remember what ended up happening. I must've had a full spare cause we made it to Vegas, eventually, but it was like, that was the most treacherous driving. It's like mountain driving.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have that happen. And it was just like, oh no.
Mountain driving sucks.
Oh, it gives me panic attacks.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It's scary. It can be scary
when
for sure.
When there's snow.
Yeah.
Ice. Otherwise, it's fine.
or at night. There's some driving in the Rocky Mountains that if you're like taking turns at night, your headlights just like disappear off into nothingness when it looks over a giant chasm and you're like, oh, fun. Mm-hmm. And they have like these little tiny guardrails and you're like, oh, thanks.
Yeah,
that'll
that's
help.
Save us.
Yeah.
I mean, being in the Navy, I have experienced some hurricanes whilst in and out of port. Oof. And it's submarines historically don't really do well being in port when there's a hurricane.
Oh, shit. Because
they
think
just
about
get like slapped around. So they send a lot of us out to sea when there's a hurricane coming.
Ew.
But once we were in the shipyard and they didn't, which means people still have to man topside.
Oh, God.
And to make sure that the people in the boat are okay, they close all the hatches. While people
just
are outside.
Just standing out there.
Come
there
and check on us every once in a while.
Oh, God.
And
they're like,
so
like
that
don't
was,
fall in.
Yeah, that was like an interesting thing of being like, we're literally the only ones here. Everyone in the shipyard is gone except the like 40 people on this boat, two of which are standing outside by themselves in the hurricane.
Fun.
Ended up not being so bad, and we did things like what bounces off the side of the boat the best, like that kind of stuff. But then there's times where you go out and you're deep in the water, but it's like the water's still tossing you like you're up near the surface, and that part is crazy. A little scary.
Yeah,
that makes me motion sick just hearing about it.
Totally.
When it's that deep, it kind of rocks you to sleep. But the stories I was telling you earlier about being motion sick or seasick and there being no relief because everyone else is throwing up. Like, I mean, you can imagine in a storm how well a submarine does with buoyancy.
Yeah.
One of my uncles is really into like rowing and what is it when it's just you? Sculling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, so he read this book about this woman who like sculled across the Atlantic, like from the US to England. And
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a pond.
Yeah, it's a pond. But she's like in this thing and they have this like custom one built because like when a really bad storm would come, she would just like go down into the little hatch and close herself in and just be like, I'm just getting tossed until this is over. And like just being kind of like inside this padded little one person chamber, getting like thrown around in the waves until it was done.
It's like that. Only it's 150 people in the thingy.
Blah.
Well, what? I think before we all lose our breakfasts, I'm going to throw us over into the world of Galarian.
Ah.
Nice.
Yeah, into the River Kingdoms, if you will. The northern stretches known as the Stolen Lands. Mm. And I want to do a little bit of cleanup because I think last time we kind of raced through some stuff. Because I was like, we got to get this shit done so we have enough time to start our fucking kingdom. And so because of that, I wanted to catch up on a couple of things. I think we touched briefly that all of you are now level 4, 40. Right?
Woohoo. But I heard 40.
You're going to need to go down.
That's what I thought. Oh.
36 levels.
Shit.
Can you just control Z it? Yeah,
I always knew Arthur sucked worse than we thought he did.
But he has had the power to like make all these fights simple, but he just hasn't used it.
I think we touched briefly, but does anyone have any other sort of like, as they've been going over their character sheets, excited about fourth level? Otherwise we can kind of bop along, but I want to give time because I always love hearing about new abilities from leveling up because it's sort of for me like a way to vicariously get to play more characters when I don't get to really play anything other than NPCs.
I got kind of a fun new feat.
Oh yeah? What'd you get?
Yeah. Well, I got Titan Wrestler.
Oh,
it's a classic.
Which is going to be a lot of fun, I think, for Ari. And I also got Swaggering Initiative. So
okay.
What's that?
That one's fun. It's you swagger readily into any fight, which I just feel like at this point she's like, fight me.
That's great phrasing.
Right. Yeah, you swagger readily into any fight, even an ambush. You gain a +2 circumstance bonus to your initiative roll and you can interact to draw your weapon.
I love these like class specific incredible initiative things that they're doing.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah, I just love it because I also just feel like she is like prepared at any time to have a fight, but also not in the like serious, like I'm always like head on a swivel kind of way, but just in the like swaggy kind of like,
yeah.
Sure, all right.
Super confident.
It's it definitely reminds me of Rorschach, where it's like, you are mistaken.
Yeah, yeah.
I
as a drunk teenager probably would be like,
got really mo better at shooting a bow up close.
And, hell yeah.
With that point blank shot.
What does point blank shot do in 2E? Because I remember in 1E, it was basically just like, you have to take it, one, because it unlocks a ton of feats, and two, because why would you not want a bonus within 30 feet,
Doesn't it keep you from hitting allies in one or something?
Let's see.
That was precise shot, which removed the penalty, which, God, that was like such a barrier to entry.
Yeah.
When using a ranged volley weapon while you are in the stance, you do not take penalty to your attack rolls from the volley trait.
Oh, it's a stance? Oh, that's genuinely.
And then, yeah,
you turn the bow sideways.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
And then, when using a ranged weapon that does not have the volley trait, you gain +2 circumstance bonus to damage rolls.
Oh, that is. Yeah. So if you're over with a short bow or a crossbow, that's really fucking cool.
If I for some reason needed to use his bow or one of those guys went down or whatever, I'd be able to pick up a crossbow or a short bow and be extra awesome with it.
That's awesome.
And I got quick draw or quick shot, which is draw and shoot and. One foul swoop.
You know what? I just want to hit this. There's a room for that. There are so many different things to like about role-playing games, and rules don't have to be one of them. If you like rules in a role-playing game, like if that particular flavor or texture is an enjoyable experience for you, I cannot get over how much every time I hear about a new feat in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, I just get excited. And I know it's a big shift from 1E, because a lot of us played 1E Pathfinder, in which like there were basically three tiers of feats. There were the why the fuck would you take this, the I guess you might want to, and then the you absolutely have to have them.
Yeah.
And those A-tier feats.
Why are you nerfing your character if you don't take these?
Yeah, those A-tier feats were so powerful that it was a weird transition going to 2nd Edition where nothing was that strong. Mm-hmm. But once I realized, like, oh, that's an intentional choice where like everything should be good only situation. Like, we're going to make sure that you're good enough to get by, period. Like, you're not nerfed for not having them. It's always so cool to hear about these, be like, oh, that's so cool now that like using different types of bows is going to give you different situational things. And I just, oh my God, I nerd out.
I also just, I like it because of my, you know, I don't groove as much as the rest of you on building the character and getting like the perfect setup or like that, like that side of things is not as much something that I have fun with. So it's really nice because then when I have to like level up, I can just be like, which one of these things sounds the most fun? It's not like, oh am I going to fuck it up?
That's
like,
what I do too. For what it's worth. I'm like, that sounds cool as fuck.
I feel like in like previous versions of this game that I've played, it's kind of like, oh, if you don't take this, then like you're completely useless. Yeah. And like, it's kind of like, all right, whatever, I guess I'll just like do this thing. But it's fun to be like, oh, this just sounds cool.
It's easier to do, to pick something thematically in 2E and like, still be able to do some damage.
Yeah, you don't feel like you're making the wrong choice.
Right.
That you like there's something you have to do.
Mm-hmm. And then when that feat comes up, you feel like a fucking superhero. Like, I mean, I try to not spend too much time talking about season one, but like when Jason realized he was actually immune to negative damage,
and
he was like, everyone leave. I've got this fight.
I'm good.
Speaking of which,
oh God.
Thanks to our free archetype feat, I get bonuses against necromancy effects for Last Wall Sentry dedication, as well as resistance to negative damage equal to half my level.
Hey. Hey.
That's badass.
There's going to be, in a future chapter, should Arthur stay around narratively or survive, there is some shit that I cannot wait for his potential character engagement with.
Hell yeah.
Any other character level stuff before I jump into some kingdom notes and a little final bit of bookkeeping on air?
Nothing too exciting for Lucky.
Got some mastermind shit going
just
on.
Just smart as hell.
Yeah. my Spike got a little better.
Oh, nice.
He got of his Eidolon abilities, which is cool.
Did his venom get more deadly?
That wasn't his venom.
I wish it was his venom, but no. That's still disappointingly low. And I got something called predictable, which is fun.
What does that do?
So I roll a perception versus a foe's deception DC or level DC.
Okay.
And if I pass, if I succeed or crit succeed, I get a bonus to AC and saving throws versus that enemy.
Oh, that is super fucking cool.
Yeah,
holy
so if
shit.
I crit succeed, I get a +2 to AC, +2 to
awesome.
The next saving throw.
It's like you remember how to best avoid getting hit by
them. It's like I am able to predict what they're going to do so I can ready myself.
Nice.
So all of you are over here playing a fantasy game and fucking Lucky's over there playing Dark Souls. Like, no, the attack pattern is swipe left, swipe right, vertical hit, pause, and you've got a 3-second hit in the pause if you can dash in before a big attack. Then they've got a reset cooldown while you can really jump in and get some damage done.
Yep. Yep. The fun thing is if I crit fail, then I take negative to my AC because I predicted incorrect.
Oh, ooh. I fucking love that.
That's cool.
All right. So because we did a lot of this in a Patreon sort of special thing, I'll say, just kind of share that now, that we did a whole, we recorded the us learning the rules for making the kingdom. It's not the tightest episode that we have ever made, and which is why it's exclusively on the Patreon, because I'm not going to subject our main feed to it.
You're going to let anyone listen to it at all? Like, that's the surprising part. We were rambling.
Oh, yeah. So it's, if you're interested.
I think I slept through half of it.
It's a good sales pitch.
Hey, look, most of our Patreon is really good content.
It is.
But that is 100% if you're really into it and want to hear us learning, and well, we tried to prep the kingdom rules, but if you want to hear us going through kingdom creation, it's in there. But I want to share a little bit about the kingdom. You all have founded the kingdom of Aestus, or your nation of Aestus, right around the, well, you started, the first hex you've claimed was where the Stag Lord's fortress was. You've spent a month working on your first settlement.
Cleaning up blood.
Yeah.
That's true.
And you've been able to turn that fortress into like a town hall, like a, not quite a longhouse sort of thing, but like a community space with room to work and hold meetings.
Were we able to do something with it to make it less scary?
Yeah, sure. I don't know.
Wasn't there like a whole thing where there was like a curse on it and we had to...
Yeah, there were like zombies coming up out of the ground.
Yeah, did we figure out the zombie issue?
Yeah, we did.
Mechanically, yes. I'm going to say narratively, you can talk about it, but we have a couple less things. You don't have to get to it yet, because since you only have one hex, really, it's okay that you don't have a different name. Do you have a name for your first settlement, or is this one of those, like, is...
I thought it was going to be Biffsburg.
We talked about Biffsburg.
Biffsburg or Biffborough.
Biffborough.
We can come back to that.
James doesn't like Biffborough.
Yeah, I'm fine with
it. It's okay. I would say that I don't, like, love
it. Didn't we also talk about like Shattershield or something?
That actually is a pretty badass one.
Shattershield is a pretty cool one.
That is pretty good.
Did I just make that up?
I think so.
No, we talked about the...
We talked about the flag.
Yeah.
The pennant or whatever.
Well, I think we should call it Shattershield.
We should call it Shattershield.
All right.
I was thinking we could go like Retirement Village also and name it like Summer Shores.
It's like a housing addition.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There are some of those.
This first is the order of business, we put in a pickleball court.
This is the couples focused one. There's like a singles one and a couple hexes over there. Yeah.
So you've done that, and you've appointed, all of you have taken some early leadership roles. And as I said, like, keep in mind, your first settlement, I think we did some math, courtesy, because you know what? It is actually time for a formal shout out. So there was a group that Paizo hired when they were doing the adaptation of Kingmaker, and they made a couple of extra books for Kingdom Rules.
James has left the table to go get the Kingdom
Rules.
And he's back.
And you'll see that, and they talk about it. Paizo has mentioned in a few of their blogs and things like that, that the group Legendary Games did some work alongside a lot of Paizo staff in bringing Kingmaker into 2E. And so Legendary Games has taken the kingdom rules that were developed for Kingmaker 2E, which are good, and they've added even more to them. They've released two additional supplements, Ultimate Rulership and Ultimate Cities. And I believe they also have variations of these rules for 5E D&D. And for first edition Pathfinder. Don't quote me on that, but I've seen them for other editions. We picked up those books and they're kind of fucking great. Jason and I in particular have been tearing through these books for the last couple weeks.
I just want to shout out the art in those books.
Yeah, they have great
art. The art in those books is amazing.
They also have things that make me as a nerd outside of just Pathfinder super excited, like rules for mixed use developments and how to hold public town meetings.
This is literally just what you and Trent talk about normally.
That's true.
I remember when I was looking through the rules for the first time and I was talking online to a buddy of mine, Ike, and I'm like, oh my God, they have rules for a public town meeting. I can now, in Pathfinder, mechanically play out what I do for a living in real life. And nice. Ike's like, that is the most German-coded thing I've ever heard you say.
I know we mention it like every time, but the scenes from Parks and Rec of like,
oh God,
on like local city meetings are the most accurate you will ever find.
That's funny.
When a guy's like, I found a sandwich in your park and I ate it and I got sick. Like, that's what
happens.
Do you
have a question? No.
Yeah. That's public comment at local meetings.
So
what kind of sandwich was it?
they should have asked a follow-up question.
So I'd highly encourage folks. They also, they have so much cool stuff, including some other adventure paths that they've kind of done on their own. They even have supplemental like items for different published Paizo adventure paths. If you want to like have some more custom items that might fit in, like seriously, check out Legendary Games. Also like great prices. I ordered right from their website and just got the PDFs plus the physical printed books because I liked having those, but they've been really wonderful. Using that though, we've done a couple of things and you have founded your kingdom. We usually use a different type of government from one of these books. All of you founded a bureaucracy.
Of course.
Yes.
The bureaucracy of Aestus and your first settlement of Shattershield in the Staglord's Old Fort. You have appointed Nikolai as your ruler. I can't remember what title you came up with. You all talking
about I think that we talked titles. About all of us being like honorable servant or like distinguished servant.
Distinguished servant.
Oh, I'm distinguished.
Yeah. The Roman.
Yeah.
The Roman. I changed mine.
You did?
Yeah.
What are you?
Controller LeChance.
Oh, God. Yes. Yeah. We're all like, we're honorable servants, and we have Controller LeChance.
Yeah. Yep. Chaos is
we
a
value,
ladder.
Arthur's
everybody?
Going to call you Comptroller.
Comptroller. Comptroller. Yes. Yeah. Comptroller.
And so Nikolai has become the honored ruler, the honored servant ruling.
Distinguished.
Ari's just going to call you ruler. Troller.
That's accurate also.
So Nikolai has taken on the ruler, whether that be king, emperor, or whatever else, is sort of the figurehead of your new settlement. Your counselor, which is, Trent, was it you who were saying the counselor is sort of analogous to, or is that another position that's
the
sort
speaker.
Of?
Yeah, like house speakers. So it's kind of like somebody who speaks for the people. That makes sense.
Bum,
so we chose the child.
The drunk 18-year-old.
Perfect.
Yeah, choice. Ari's 18 now. Oh, she had her birthday.
Happy birthday. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
When's her birthday? So that we can make it a holiday?
Yeah. It's actually Farch 30th, and Farch. You guys are assholes because you didn't acknowledge it.
Wow.
Well, no one told us.
No one knew.
Mine's Farch 29th, and no one said anything.
Wow.
So the counselor is Ari. The general is currently Arthur, and the treasurer, as we talked about, is Lucky. And so, like I said, at this point, oh, that's right. This is where I got off.
You go too far,
yeah.
Lucky's been the treasurer.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
whole time.
It's just official now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you have even more money to manage. Perfect. And because there's a room for that. While it does hurt the trust in the government, you can 100% tap the funds of the government to pull them out to use for characters.
Yeah, we'll do that off air.
So one of the things in Ultimate Rulership in Cities is the base kingdom rules have some general, like a settlement is between 1 and 200 people or whatever. But they have some cool things in these books to sort of say, hey, if you want to get a little more granular, which we're playing Pathfinder, we want to get more granular.
Of course.
And we choose to because it's fun for us to think about throughout
Jane's
the week.
Jane's face, sorry.
Jane, much like Ari, is just here to drink and have a good time. Yep. It's character acting. And what's up, Jason?
Well, it's Super Bowl Sunday and Trent hasn't started drinking.
Yeah.
That's coming in the future episodes. So,
I'm with you.
I got to pick up some bankies.
So.
We won't. When is this? Oh, this will come out way after this.
Yeah. This will be way later. Like a month or two.
I didn't want to talk about who was in it and spoil it, but that's not how time works.
By the time this airs, people will know who won the Super Bowl.
The fact that we got these like three football bros to show up today is a miracle.
It's true.
In 15 feet of snow.
Our teams are shitty. In it.
Yeah, our teams are
bad. Long time
But you're still wearing a Bengals jersey.
Of course. I actually would love to tell this story. I may have already told this story about
Go
this
for
shirt.
It.
But I can never remember the guy's first name. But this was a player who he was like kind of on the bubble of whether he was going to make the roster, didn't end up making it. But when it came time to cut players, his daughter got a cancer diagnosis.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
I remember this.
The team very intentionally put him on the practice squad just so that he could maintain healthcare to get his daughter care.
Aww.
Which like that was
defensive
like
lineman,
I
right?
fucking love my team. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh,
that's sweet.
Well, hell yeah.
Yeah. And so they also sold these shirts as like a fundraiser for
that's
him.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So I feel like I don't want to like do that injustice by
saying that.
Anyway, should we just end it there? Or
Ultimate, these ultimate books have some specific numbers for sort of the vague population based on what you've built in your community. So from the work you've spent in the first month, you all have a town hall. You've built your first set of housing. You have the resources and skills to just jump past tenement housing and go full to a full block of housing. And you've started construction on an inn. It'll take 2 months to build an inn. Once again, main kingdom rules say things just kind of happen instantly and cost more. Ultimate Cities talks about building over time, paying over time. Houses, you could sort of build in about a month. And I was curious, so I actually did some research online of like, how fast can you realistically build shit like that? And what they said was that in like the 1600s and a little bit later, for a few pounds, you could get a one-room cottage in northern England, which was cheaper, for about £3. And it would take about 1 to 2 weeks to build a one-room cottage, a shittier one-room cottage in northern England.
No. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
I'm seeing stars right now.
Trent's like, I would love a one-room cottage
for £3 or £4. Sounds amazing. Yeah. So I was like, is that crazy? Anyway,
And then, like, the average peasant earned 1 shilling per
right.
Yeah, let's year. Not talk about housing. It's really sad and depressing.
Yep.
So we know that there's about, in the first month, and I'm going to say narratively, a lot of this is because Rossland has sort of offered you this grant and has sort of, like, basically sent workers down. And, like, much like us in real life, if any one of us were told, like, hey, if you go move, like, 2 hours away, we can offer you a house at less than cost, we'd all be like... So we're all moving.
Where are we going?
Yeah. Yep. And that's essentially what happened for a lot of people who were trying to get out of Rossland. And you've already encountered a lot of NPCs who have like sort of dealt with the oppression of the noble families, whether it's like getting in trouble for dating someone who wasn't noble and therefore like being outcast from their family, or like the folks who were in the trading post who were like, we just don't want to deal with the politics of the families. We just want to do what we like and get away from that. So between that and the fact that there's like good war, like, there's a promise of work and a chance to like get affordable land, which we can all identify with a little bit living in Colorado. You've attracted about 120, maybe 150 people who have kind of made it down to your area over the first month. Here's the last little bit of bookkeeping. And I kind of wanted to do this on air because I think it may be funny. You have 4 open leadership positions. Because you chose bureaucracy, you can choose to have one of these remaining leadership positions be filled by staff, which I think is one of my favorite special rules for the bureaucracy government.
It's great.
The open positions are emissary, magister, viceroy, and warden. Who did you want staff to fill? I know a couple of you had ideas about this.
I believe the viceroy.
Yeah.
We're going to put staff down for viceroy. What the fuck is a viceroy?
So a viceroy is Trenton. Like a representative of the government itself in another, like, sort of another settlement or another part of your town or whatever, your nation, which I'm sure we don't really necessarily need right now. But also, like, this was used by ancient China to powerful effect, where like they would send, the ruler would send sort of rivals of his out to the frontiers. You know, he's like, yeah, go be my viceroy, little bitch. And so like he would have no connection to, you know, all of the people he was relying upon to, like, you know, take power himself. He would just be flung to the frontiers.
So this is very bureaucratic of you, I think, in the way that, 'cause all of you, your intention was you wanted to create a place for the people. Like, that was a conversation, especially given like some of Arthur's championships and like liberator of like, not like, you weren't obviously going to say like, our whole goal here is a place free from oppression. You wanted that. And your thought was like, how can we holistically offer a place for people to build community together, which also tied in with Nikolai's Erastil stuff.
Freedom of choice is like a big thing for liberators.
And so viceroy says here is plans and implements the kingdom's expansion and development, both territories and settlements. So like, oh yeah, the people who are going to be helping to be in charge of the kingdom's growth is the people.
Right.
So you also need to fill your emissary, your magister, and you can leave these open. There's just a penalty if certain events require them. An emissary, a magister, and a warden.
I have a suggestion about magister.
Sure.
Okay. I think it should be Svetlana. If she did.
Is she magic?
She's still up in her trading post.
Well, I just think we need more women in leadership in this community. And I think she seems like she's got her shit together. Like, she's been holding down this trading post. Everybody likes her.
But isn't that specifically the magic person?
The magister is, I believe, magic stuff.
I was thinking like magistrate.
Well, I'm going to check, but I think in this case it's magical.
It is magical.
But she also, I think, would say, oh, that's so kind and thank you, but right now I'm...
stay at my trading desk.
Yeah.
We will put a pin in the... we do need more women in leadership. Yes.
Yeah. It can't be just Ari.
And for what's worth, like, this is the first month. So it's not that you were like, well, I'm the leader of everything. It's sort of like, hey, this is your fucking work detail for this month. Any other thoughts on emissary or warden?
Knock Knock should be our emissary.
What about Lindsay?
Never.
She isn't around.
She's gone too.
You do have Akundayo.
What about him, at least for temporary warden?
He does kind of like you, him and his dog that he let you name.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's right. I was like, who is that guy?
Permanent thing. You can just be a filler for now.
We'll let you keep your dog if you...
oh, God.
Otherwise, we're taking the
dog. Otherwise, we're taking the dog.
He's our dog.
He's our dog now.
We take the dog and send him on his way.
Yeah, the dog is the magister.
Yeah, I don't think Lucky loves the idea of him being on staff, but...
Why didn't you like him?
I don't dislike him.
He doesn't trust anyone.
But he is like, wants revenge on the trolls or whatever.
Mm.
And I think that could like interfere with like what's good for the people.
Making
and what's good
big
for the
enemies
kingdom.
Of trolls could be a problem.
Right. And so that's like my only reservation with him. But for a temporary assignment, I think it's okay.
What about that? Did that guy who was like the knight that had the weird relationship with the noble woman who was at the trading post with us, is he sticking around or did he just kind of go about his business?
He's still around. He's a little bit of, he sort of acts on behalf of those, but you think you could probably ask him to come over and join. Like, if certainly he has an interest in helping patrol those lands and maintain that relationship.
He could be a good warden.
I mean, like, most likely him and Akundayo could be working together easily.
Mm-hmm.
So do I hear that you're leaving Emissary and Magister kind of open for now?
I don't know any magic people.
Yeah.
All right, so we've all kind of talked about what you did in the first month, but this is where I'd like kind of all you to jump in, and you can share this. You can ask for partners to join you in role-playing scenes. You can play it out as a report you've written. You can just talk about it like in the second or third person and sort of paraphrase it, but who wants to talk about... Let's actually start with you, Nikolai.
All right.
What has Nikolai been doing in the first month in establishing?
So the first thing Nikolai wanted to do was, as these people showed up, was to make sure... that we had food.
Yeah.
And the way the rules work out, it kind of, you can't start farming for a bit. So we talked about fishing, setting up, you know, showing people how to fish, doing the actual fishing. And
there is like a lake by
you're
our
on a lake.
Right,
yeah.
We're on a lake and some rivers run through our hex too. And
we're like lake people, aren't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's your heartland.
We're like youpers.
Yeah. Hey, watch what you're saying.
Yeah.
And we stockpiled some food.
It does go with our retirement home.
That's true. We can do it.
Everybody lives in an A-frame.
Yeah.
But yeah, we stockpiled some fish and you know, kind of set up our first little bit of commodity gathering as far as food goes.
Yeah.
Another thing that Nikolai wanted to do was to try to reach out and set up some trade agreements or with the kobolds and the silver mine.
That's right. So you went as a diplomatic envoy, right?
As a diplomatic envoy. I imagine that he convinced Lucky to come and Arthur not to come.
Why? I would love to talk with people.
Not the kobolds. We're going to leave you at home for the kobolds.
He like shows up with a spear just looking at him.
And so we went and it wasn't easy to convince them to like take part in, I don't know, civilization, I guess would be the word, or bigger settlements. But we eventually worked out a deal with the kobolds to set up trade.
So yeah, so you have begun, you now have a diplomatic relationship with them.
Yeah.
And you can
now
open up for the future for Lucky to open trade relations. So yeah. So what else did Nikolai, you think, get up to anything else in that first month? I imagine working on the whole curse thing, cursed ground a little bit.
Yeah, and like making and helping rebuild the Stag Lord's hideout was pretty grimy and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, kind of evilly-ish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So spent a lot of time doing that, you know, and healing people that got hurt while fishing or building or whatever, you know, just being trying to be helpful.
Nikolai the Noble.
Nikolai the Noble.
So just being someone around town.
Just being somebody around town. Trying not to... Nikolai's a little weird about being the leader because he's been so far down the chain for his whole life. He'd never imagined this. So he's kind of like learning his role and figuring it out to people.
You give me a very leaders eat last vibe as like Nikolai being a leader sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
What was Lucky up to in the last month?
Lucky was probably micromanaging the townspeople with their building projects. we're building some housing.
This Gantt chart is a mess.
Yeah. You're the guy who keeps showing up with the blueprints, like pointing and shaking his head.
Yeah, for sure.
This is not safe.
I'm the subcontractor that is making sure everyone does their job. And then we undertook the building of an inn also.
Yeah, you've started building an inn. You oversaw like housing construction, and you did something else as well. You started, I imagine that part of this was through Oleg's trading post.
Yeah.
But you got into some commodities trading.
Yeah, yeah. Hey. I think also too, just like, you know, encouraging the people to like, let's start storing some of the things. If you're a good hunter, go bring some stuff in for the community. If you're a fisherman, you know, let's try and like start stockpiling and drying goods and all these different things. So I think he's just kind of overseeing some of the infrastructure pieces. Hasn't really delved much into stuff outside of that at the moment though.
And I'll note that like you crit succeeded on your checks for that. So not only did you bring in enough lumber to like help oversee and like arrange for the trade deals to bring lumber in for the housing and for the inn and for the town hall repair, you also brought in what will be at this point your civilization enough for the next 2 to 3 months worth of food on top of the efforts that Nikolai kind of has helped with.
Oh, yeah. Good micromanager.
Hell so. Yeah. Good trade deals.
Yeah.
Lucky's like, look, I fucking hate nobles. I will walk away from this right now.
You're like buying a car.
What's Arthur been up to for the last month?
So Arthur mechanically was doing claim hex. So I imagine Arthur did as part of that was kind of joined a group of people, gathered up some people to go to this region, sort of map it out. Probably encountered some people who were just kind of like camping out there and was like, hey, we have this town back here if you guys want to come join us, you know.
Hitting up trappers and merchants and letting them know like, yeah.
And if it's cool, like we're going to say that we own this, by the way. So just so you know, like we're not going to be violent or anything, but we are going to be here. It's going to be part of our kingdom if you'd like to join. And then he went out and is it Miegar?
Yeah, Miegar Varn.
Made a visit with them and was like, hello, I'm here to negotiate with you and say hello. And we have set up a nation over there. And I'm sure they were like, what the fuck is this guy all about?
Yeah, and like, Miegar was the noble lord that Nikolai kind of hit it off with back at the very beginning of our adventure months ago.
I feel like Nikolai like writes a letter like, hey, Miegar, he's super weird, but he's cool. It's okay. And like safety pins it to Arthur's shirt. And it's like, oh, gosh.
It's on his back and they don't notice it until he goes to leave. And they're like, oh.
And his was one of the charters that was initially for a community right off the bat. And he's like directly south of Rostland on a road. And so they've been set up in Varnhold, it's called, for a little over a month. And they're kind of at the foothills of the mountains on the east side of that mountain range. Probably takes you maybe a week or two to go over there and back, but they're pretty well set up. And I almost wonder if maybe some of the lumber that came from some of their camps and things, but he receives you really well and he doesn't recognize you, but like he takes you in and he sees Nikolai's letter and asks for basically tales and does say like, if the others have time, I'd love to have you come here and like join for dinner. You can see that their camp it's a combination of some semi-permanent structures, some early like A-frames and some pit houses, a couple of like a longhouse has been set up in the last month. And you can see where they're starting to work on some perimeters, maybe at least for like patrols. And you can see where they've like set up logging camps a little bit. And they're not like excessive of our head, but they're well off and they definitely were a well-funded and well-established group, but it goes well for Arthur. And I think maybe there's not camaraderie there, but like there's a warmth there.
Nice solid handshake when he goes to leave.
Oh, for sure.
And then when he's back in town, I think he spends the remaining time just sort of like showing some of these peasants a little bit of self-defense.
Sure.
He's working some people through maneuvers and whatnot.
feel like we have to stop calling them peasants.
common folk.
Commoners, yeah.
Community members, residents.
Yeah, yeah. Peasants.
Peasants.
Peasants, like residents.
Just, peasants. These are our peasants.
They're just dudes, ladies.
Dudes and dudettes. Yeah. Dudes, dudettes, helping and everything else.
Showing our peeps.
Yeah.
They're
retirees, okay?
They are retirees. Our aesthesians.
Jane, what is Ari been up to for the last month?
Well, first and foremost, she's been making some design decisions within the buildings. That's and really just making the place beautiful. Go on.
What would some of those design decisions, what do you think is Ari's design style?
Brutalist.
Absolutely not.
This building is brutalist.
In fact, I think she's going for a combination Gothic and Art Nouveau kind of vibe everywhere. There's going to be stained glass when we get there.
Love it.
There's lots of like...
Glass stained with the blood of your enemies.
Yeah. Lots of like natural elements and like windows. And she's very like committed to making it a place that is actually like nice to live. And very beautiful. She creates a masterpiece.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's right. You did the create a masterpiece action in order to help gain some more resources and some more fame that you could use to re-roll a couple checks the group is having some difficulty with.
We're like Florence all of a sudden.
Yeah.
People are like coming here just to see these beautiful
artworks.
She's
like fucking Catherine de' Medici. Like wow. She is out there. And I think that part of what that is for Ari is also like, she's getting to know people who are there, and anybody who is kind of like an artist or has some artistic talent, she's like hiring them and like being basically like a patron to get people to like start creating things.
Sure.
So awesome. I think we do like a big, we're working on master, because I can just like sort of say what this masterpiece is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're creating like a big ass Sistine Chapel style ceiling fresco in our inn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So it's like our,
that's
or
cool.
Like maybe in the town hall. We're going to do it in the Staglord hold.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we're doing the Las Vegas Sphere.
Yeah, right.
Jesus. It's visible from all of Galarian.
We're getting you two to come play.
Yeah. Hey. No, she's doing like, she's working with all of these people to essentially have this like giant fresco made as you come into the town hall that has like all of our kind of...
I'm sorry, Trent's getting you two to play is really killing me.
You're so red. Yeah, so we're masterpiecing right now.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's going to be very beautiful and a very grand entrance. And it'll have all of our like various like lore about everyone and how the town got built and stuff like that painted.
Can I request no naked cherubs?
There will be so many naked cherubs. No. So many naked. And like in true Michelangelo fashion, everyone is going to be buff as hell.
Yeah, of course.
So now, because there's a room for there are also random kingdom events that take place every month.
Honestly, this was my favorite part.
The first thing that happens, and I think it's because so many people are coming down, seeking it, finding opportunity. I think opportunity that maybe you weren't expecting is presented a little bit, because you're able to find out through folks in town that in your new housing district, your new block of housing that has been built, and people are showing up, a drug ring. Uh-huh. With influences of some of the, like, the crime elements that have come down from Brevoy has found its way in, as drugs have made their way into the community, and they're sort of like pushing people out and claiming territory and space.
I am ready to crush that immediately.
Well, this is
and I also want to point out, we didn't choose this. This was on the chart that we rolled.
Random event. Uh-huh. And so this is where, like, if you don't have leaders in certain roles, you can receive penalties on the check. Now, so the leader that's associated with this role is the counselor.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
The drunk child.
So, Jane, would you like to tell? Would you like to tell us?
Get the fuck out of my city.
Oh, she's an
okay.
Adult
she's
now,
not
okay.
Drunk all the time. She is also an adult now.
That's true.
Would you like to tell us, Jane, both what happened and then the result of the die roll?
Have you guys seen True Detective season 1?
Oh, yeah.
And holy shit.
Oh my gosh.
So she goes in there like Rust Call, like undercover.
Jesus fuck.
I'm just kidding.
Hell yes.
Doing the smoke and the cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah.
I do think that she kind of goes
Time
undercover.
Time is a flat circle.
Time is a flat circle.
I'm going to need you to stop saying weird shit all the time.
No, she's going to kind of like go there and like sort of figure out what's going on, like get the lay of the land. And then Ari is going to work with Nikolai and the other members of our cabinet to establish some rehabilitation options. And also, she's going to basically go back. She's going to, she takes out the person who's kind of responsible and, you know, locks him up with the warden. She's not going to kill anybody.
I was going to say, what do you mean by takes out?
Can you explain take
no,
out?
No, she busts out her new Titan wrestler ability and is just like, let's fucking fight.
Hell yeah.
But basically, she's like going to go in and try to like win the respect of the people and essentially do like a little bit of a show of strength by being like, we rule this place because we're the most badass. So like fuck around and find out.
You're going to do the drugs in front of everybody.
Yeah, do the drugs in front of everybody. Then she's going to be like, she's going to be like, there are so many better options. We're building this really great inn. And essentially just try to like kind of work with everybody to...
Aren't you... Isn't your god Caden Kalian?
Yeah.
So you could be like, why don't you try the drug of freedom?
Yeah, essentially. And so like she's going to try to set up these basically like public services to say, let's party responsibly.
I like it. The frescoes like... all of us with like a table of cash and drugs.
Yeah, right.
And we're standing in front of it posing.
Like,
I got the helmet on.
She's cutting it down with an axe.
Yeah, and Ari critically succeeded in the crushing of the drug ring. So
that's awesome.
Because what I'll say is with this event, it usually has successes. There's no negative benefits, but like it's an ongoing issue you have to kind of deal with. And what I'm going to say is, Ari, when you're kind of looking into it, you do feel like you're finding some evidence and talking to the people that someone sort of put some effort into seeding or pushing this down here. Now, you don't know if it's because they saw an opportunity or because they're wanting to mess with you a little bit, but in your like investigation and resolution, you do feel like you've come across some evidence that someone has like trying to take advantage of this or put intentional sort of like hooks and barbs.
We're also
going to
talk about decriminalizing a lot of these substances so that, start working on a rehabilitation forward method.
Housing first.
Check the pharmaceutical companies too and make sure that they're not involved.
I'm sure you
can find a lot of stuff in these swamps. So
that's probably true.
All right. So
Ari's like, don't worry, I got this.
So Jason, I actually need a little bit of Galarian from you.
Okay.
So we've left Farch.
Okay.
And I believe last time we were playing, Gozrin. We were in Gozrin, but it's been a month now. And so we are in, what is the month after? Because after Gozrin, it's what?
Give me one second.
It's named after a god, but I don't remember which one.
Yes. I think they're all named after gods.
It is Desnus.
Desnus, yeah.
So that is the,
this
what?
May.
Is that the May analog?
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the middle of May.
Wow.
And what would all of you be doing on a Tuesday afternoon in Desnus?
What specific day? Because some of those are holidays.
Oh.
You get to pick, Jason. Do you want to do this as a holiday?
We'll go. You said it's Tuesday?
Yeah, a Tuesday.
A holiday.
Yeah.
Well, it's the 14th.
Okay.
It's the day after Old Mage Day.
Oh, perfect. What are you all doing in town?
Working on the fresco.
Okay, so you're in the town hall working on the fresco, putting some finishing touches on Arthur. What's going on with you in Desnus?
I think he's probably like receiving reports from scouts on the perimeter. You know, what are you guys finding? That sort of thing.
Oh, I like it.
Just overseeing the construction of stuff and
the inn is still underway.
Maybe trying to. If someone was like planting this drug ring, then maybe just like keeping an eye out for shady stuff, you know, doing maybe a little side job on who that could have been.
And
give me a name.
Exactly.
In the morning, doing a little bit of fishing. But if it gets towards the afternoon, maybe he's
the Fisher King, huh?
Helping. Yeah. So what, have you guys ever seen Kingdom of Heaven?
Oh, yeah.
And you remember when he takes over that land and he decides he's going to rebuild it? That's what I envision him doing is like he's out there getting dirty. And in the afternoons or midday or whatever, he's up there helping the people that were addicted to the drugs or mm-hmm. just people that got hurt or just witnessing Erastil's awesomeness to everyone.
You're like, out there building wells.
Yeah.
I think that also it's probably fair to say that like we're all kind of almost every day like bouncing around the settlement mm-hmm. to like all of these different things going yeah. on, like checking in on all this stuff and kind of all just like, you know.
I imagine that we like try to have a meal or a coffee or something every day to like, hey, this is what's going on. All right, okay, bye.
We have a 10 a.m. coffee meeting.
Such a good king. I would never have done that.
I would like to zoom in.
That's literally like...
It's a bad use of our money, but that's fine.
When Trent and I were neighbors, we basically did that. Yeah. Like almost every day just yeah. had coffee. Like, hey, what's going on? Everything good? Okay.
When I lived in our other apartment complex, we would like be on the front and have coffee and all the other apartment folks would come out and... Our dogs would run around and we would tell
community.
Hey, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine you're kind of at this morning. Oh.
I would also just like to say, I think that we do our little coffee meeting like like at the inn or just kind of like around yeah. all, you know, like we're not like, oh, we're off here in our important meeting room. We're just like hanging out like.
That is true because it will be at least three leaders yeah. meeting at the same time, which is an open meeting. and so we would necessarily need to be in the open. Yes.
So I think you're in, and I imagine given the Erastil thing, it's sort of a longhouse vibe. Mm-hmm. Like you're sort of in a communal space that anyone can come in to use. Maybe there's communal like cooking area there where people can come and cook and warm. And I think you're in there when the doors, that'd be newly installed doors, because if you recall, the doors have been ripped off to create the owlbear cage. Right.
Correct.
The doors open and you see a tall like humanoid figure and a smaller figure about half that height walk in. And they kind of come up to you, and the smaller figure you can see now is a halfling kind of steps forward. Excuse me, do you have a minute to speak with us?
Of course.
Well, 1 second. A meeting is adjourned. Okay, now we do.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you for everything you've done for us. It's been really great, and you've been really great to, been really kind to Floric and myself. We've been doing great work here, you know, bringing wood in for the camps. It's been really good work, and I'm really finding fulfillment as a lumberjack.
Yes, I know.
But we need to...
I sense a butt coming.
We need to talk to you. The community wasn't sure who to send, but we volunteered. We bring ill tidings in news. For last night, we found another body. 2 nights ago.
Another body?
Yeah.
Wait. Did you just say another?
Go back.
Rewind. All of us look at each other like, do you hear about a body?
Another body.
Right, sorry. Okay, so I guess I should introduce myself. I'm Christoph. We've met before, but it's been a while.
Are you the fucking bandit?
It is the little halfling bandit. He's been working as a lumberjack That's for hilarious. You.
Oh, yeah.
Who tried to, like, deforest the entire area.
It's like, well... We weren't sure what
Didn't
to do.
Didn't we kill your boss?
Oh, Stefson? Well, and there was the lady with the two hatchets, but we didn't really like her anyway.
Okay,
and
great. Go on. Anyway,
Flora
the body.
Speaks up. Yeah, she was horrible. We are terrified of her.
I'm proud of you for changing your life, by the way.
Oh, thanks. You know, there's a lot of good work out here. And it turns
Ari
out...
looks at Lucky and is like, see what happens when we don't kill everyone?
Less money.
Yeah, we get way more wood. What are you talking about?
Well, so... 2 nights ago, we, and like, you kind of do remember hearing a little bit about this, because like, however unfortunate it is, like, there is a lot of wildlife, and you do remember a report now from Ekandayo and Garrus that had come in. I don't think that guy's is actually Garrus. I think I'm just bringing Mass Effect in.
Garrus.
I think it is. It's like Keston Garrus.
Oh, something. You're right. Well, yeah, in my mind, he's now just Garrus from Mass Effect. Yeah, I think it's
Keston. Fed up with C-Sec.
Yes. Fed up with these noble houses in Brevoy. but he's like, and you do remember that like there had been reported maybe a mauling that had happened, and Ekandai was looking into it.
And I'm just like, oh, did I not mention this to everyone? There has been a mauling.
Yes. And Ekandai was kind of in behind these two, and he's sort of like nodding. And they're like, well, right. So 2 nights ago, Saki, she was killed out while gathering starberries, which, you know, like it's unfortunate, but I guess it's sort of the danger in going out at odd times. But it was just last night. One of the shepherds, Bevan, we found him this morning. His body was along the stretch of road. Looks like he'd been, well, yeah. And Ekandayo kind of steps forward. We've collected both the bodies and stored them in the basement here when they're cold, if you want to check them out. I also didn't want people to have to see them. These two were kind enough to help me remove them and bring them here, and well, they wanted to speak with you about it. Well, I hope that's okay. Just you we really want you to know it wasn't us. You know, those days are behind us. It really, I swear, I know it doesn't look good, but the only thing I'm cutting down now is trees, not people anymore.
Nikolai puts his hand on his shoulder and is like, thank you very much for bringing this to our attention.
Sense motive.
Yeah. All right. What's your perception bonus? This is a secret check. I'm going to roll this giant die that Jason got us.
Let's figure out where it is on here. Nine.
That's going to come across loud. It seems honest, like clearly nervous. One, because like one, death is unfortunate, but like you're in a frontiers area. It's not unrealistic. Two, though, is scary.
And Ari's like, right. Lucky, why would they tell us if they're the ones that did it?
Perfect cover up.
It's right outside. At this point, they're kind of, Ekundai is like, it took place. It's right outside of the settlement on one of the sort of game trail paths heading northward into the newly claimed territories, Arthur. The first one, I sent you the brief report on it. She seemed to be out at night gathering or foraging of some kind. I don't know what, but didn't seem...
She was foraging at night?
Anyone who wants to give me a... give me a diplomacy check.
Kind of a stupid choice.
Well, maybe something like... And he's said like, starberries.
Well,
so
you know what? We'll come back to this. He's like, I don't know much about it. You'd have to ask more, but it didn't. Those who knew her didn't seem out of sorts, I don't think.
So no diplomacy check?
Not yet. You can gather information when you want to start investigating this more.
I'd like to go...
Let's see the body.
Could you show me the body?
Yeah. Let's examine them.
I can take them down. I can take you down to them.
But Arya's going to ask, they both look like they were mauled by an animal?
I haven't had a chance to look too closely. I just got these reports. I had one of my...
Beaky.
Kind of come in, but I've been out on patrol.
Beaky.
Not beaky.
Thank you, gentlemen. Go back to being lumberjacks.
All right. We'll keep doing that. I was thinking about becoming a fisher. No, now.
Oh, you can be a fisher if you want.
Don't do any murders.
No. Yeah.
You could be a fisher of men.
Does that mean I catch men?
No, that's too much.
It's never been entirely clear. For being honest, but
and Kristoff and Florek both like, well, thank you. And if you need anything at all, right, we can help. And like, kind of patches his fist into his
pocket. No, I think we're okay.
New vice. We're going to not have you in the military. We tend to screen those people out.
Have you ever heard of the Coast Guard?
All right, and so they kind of are seen out, and Ekandayo kind of takes you, brings you over, and kind of takes you down into that cellar. You can see on tables there's a couple of torches lit, and on tables there's sort of two figures covered by sheets. Takes you over to the two bodies, pulls the fabric back on the first one, and lying there in front of you is...
Your family doesn't do well with this.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's a form that you're going to have to tune in next time to find out more about.
So much.
You created a kingdom.
So much.
And now people are dying.
Blood and viscera. Great.
Isn't that how it goes?
The Live to Die podcast is a production of Live to Die Gaming. Follow us on social media at Live to Die Pod. Leave a review and tune in next week for more. If you like the amazing background audio and music, all that credit goes to Sirenscape. Make sure you check them out at sirenscape.com.